This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into a Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson here with you. We are, of course, from rotowire.com. Big show coming your way over the next hour. We have Game 5 of the NBA Finals coming our way tonight. Game 4 of the NBA Finals. Nick sitting as 2.5-point favorites over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Total at 216.5. I'll give out all my plays for Game 4 later in the show. We'll also have our friend Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com NBA expert, stopping by with his card. The World Cup, Jeff, starts tomorrow. Adam Zdrowicz from RotoWire, he's going to stop by with a full preview, some tournament-long props to keep an eye out for. And, of course, we'll talk plenty of baseball, all of Jeff Erickson's best bets coming for you to round out the show. As always, if you miss any of our shows, if you want to listen in audio form, check out the Prop Points podcast. You can find all VSiN shows in podcast form. Just search Prop Points, search VSiN on Apple, on Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Jeff, we will have plenty of NBA talk coming later in the show, but we do need to hit one big news item heading into Game 4 tonight. That is that we will have no further discipline, no league action coming for Victor Wembanyama after the shove to Jalen Brunson in Game 3. It was, of course, not whistled, no foul in the moment. There was some thought that, okay, maybe the league will take a look at this. It could be upgraded. I'll say this. I thought there was no world in which this would be upgraded to a flagrant 2. That would mean Victor Wembanyama is up to 4 flagrant points. He would be suspended. The NBA was never going to do that. I thought it was on the table. It was conceivable that this could be bumped up to a flagrant 1, but no additional discipline for Victor Wembanyama. Your reaction?
Well, I didn't make as much of it as others. Maybe I'm looking at it through my prism. I think that there was mutual contact there. Yes, he did shove him. It was a foul, but I didn't think it was a flagrant, in my opinion. Especially because I thought Brunson initiated contact to begin with there. But I'm also looking at it through my own lens, so I'll take that with the appropriate grain of salt. It was a physical game. It's been a physical series. I thought it was called both ways. We saw a play where Castle just got fouled twice on one drive to the basket, and it didn't get called either. So it's just the way it is. It wasn't like the play against the Timberwolves where he swung the elbow, you know, there's a follow through, all of that. I didn't think it rose to that level.
Yeah, I think that's a measured take. If this was upgraded to a flagrant 1, I would be totally okay with that. Again, not flagrant 2 material. There was a little bit of pushing and shoving. You know, when you have a 7-4 guy and a 6-1 guy, the 7-4 guy is usually going to have the physical advantage in that situation. And we've seen Jalen Brunson accentuate some contact, and he did so even later in the game, thinking of a specific box out in the corner on Stephon Castle. But I am curious to see how we see this game refereed in Game 4, because I don't think the Knicks are satisfied with how this series has been called overall. We saw Mike Brown, usually like once per series, you get to burn one where you get to go to the media and talk about the refereeing. Mike Brown decided to do that after Game 3. I do think you can get in the referee's ear. I think you can kind of plant the seed for maybe how you want certain things officiated. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if we see this game called a little bit tighter. There was a ton of pushing and shoving off the ball, not just Jalen Brunson. A lot of instances where Karl Anthony Towns and Wembanyama were allowed to get in some arm fights. So we will see how that ultimately impacts Game 4 coming our way tonight at MSG. In the world of hockey, Jeff, the Carolina Hurricanes took down the Golden Knights last night. That series now tied up 2-2, a 5-3 win for Carolina. We talked to our friend AJ Scholes on the show yesterday. He was all over the over 5.5. We even had an empty net goal at the end for good measure. But again, a 5-3 win for Carolina. Hurricanes now -155 on the money line for Game 5 tomorrow night. -145 to win the cup over at DraftKings. Vegas right now +120.
If you're a hockey fan, you've been loving these playoffs. Just an incredible series. This is going, 2-2 in the game 5. This is exactly what you want from a Stanley Cup final. Jordan Staal with an incredible performance throughout these playoffs. Mitch Marner doing the same for the Golden Knights. It's been highly entertaining. We got a double overtime game in game 3. This one was tightly contested the whole way through. Lots of scoring. It should bring in a lot of common fans. It's just, and luckily they aligned it so we're not going up against the NBA. They're alternating nights too. I really like that they're doing that as well. I think the scheduling has been perfect. It's been a fun series. Really enjoying this series. Really enjoying these playoffs.
We'll talk some baseball from Tuesday night in just a moment. But folks, do you want to bet smarter? You need to check out RotoWire. Our brand new smart money tool shows you exactly where the sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line. And that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy leagues, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Head over to rotowire.com. Do it right now. Use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. Toss that in at checkout to get you 15% off anything we offer over at RotoWire. Again, that's rotowire.com. Put in that code VSIN, V-S-I-N. As always, we highly encourage you to check out the Smart Money Tool. I was able to get a look at version 2 that'll be coming to the site very, very soon. So a lot of improvements to be made there, but shows you where all the sharp action is coming in, shows you where you can tail that action at the best price for each and every market. Jeff, a busy night in baseball last night. We got to start with the Chicago White Sox. They take down the Braves 6-5, walked it off in extra innings. Braden Montgomery with a walk-off homer in his major league debut. White Sox are 4 games above .500. They're 3 games clear now in the AL wildcard race. And they're in the midst of a brutal stretch of schedule. I think that the next week and a half is going to tell us just how real this White Sox team might be. They get 2 more against the Atlanta Braves these next 2 days. Then they're home for the Dodgers at the New York Yankees.
Yeah, exactly. And they're the only team in the division with a positive run differential +9. This is a team. Keep in mind, they set an all-time loss record just a couple of years ago. And then here they are. I think the pitching is going to be the key for this team. I like that they added Montgomery, by the way. Number 50, RotoWire's 50th rated prospect, James Anderson, just did the update on that. He's the best in the business when it comes to ranking fantasy prospects. You should check out his rankings. We just talked about using promo code VSIN to get 15% off any RotoWire subscription. If you're in any sort of dynasty league, any sort of keeper league, it's an invaluable resource to go check that out. Davis Martin is coming off of his worst start. 6 runs against Minnesota last time out. Tough opponent today in the Braves. I want to see how he bounces back. They currently are at a 4-man rotation. They just sent down Sandlin, who got blown up by the Twins a couple times ago. Something to watch there to see how they fill that last spot in the rotation. But it's been a fun story. And they're in the right division. They're in a division where no one's going to run away. Cleveland had a stretch where they're playing really well, but now they've lost 3 in a row to bring it right back. I mean, the White Sox could even win the division. That's still in play as well. Like you said, the schedule is going to be important watching that, but fun stretch. Montgomery's a real prospect. Lengthens that lineup. When they get Murakami back, this could be a fun team.
Braves -149 as the road team on the money line tonight with Chris Sale on the hill going up against Davis Martin. You know I love nothing more, Jeff, than an egregious cross-sport comparison. Are the Chicago Yes. White Sox the Charlotte Hornets of baseball?
Their farm club is in Charlotte. Their AAA farm club is in Charlotte. So even more apt of a comparison. Hopefully it ends a little bit better there for where they don't fizzle out and a chance to make the playoffs. But I think so. They're kind of like, you know, and you see this all the time in sports, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, a collection of young players reaching a height before people anticipate. You know, we always think about, okay, it's a progression. It doesn't happen linearly. I go all the way back to the Tampa Bay Rays when they made the World Series. You can see they were a doormat for years and years and years. And then 1 year, they kind of, Carl Crawford and Evan Longoria and a collection of other young players all hit a collective mass at the same time. And that can happen. David Price also, that they just start clicking and all of a sudden they make the playoffs. All of a sudden they're in the World Series in that case. They lost to the Phillies in the World Series, but still. It happens where these young teams are based with this young talent, top prospects. Sometimes they hit that extra level before you're ready for them.
So we've talked a lot this week, Jeff, about the series unfolding out in Vegas. I know a lot of the Visa guys were in the house last night for game 2 between the A's and the Milwaukee Brewers. We had a crazy game 1, 29 runs on the board, a little bit more measured last night. A's ended up winning 7-5, but you know, a lot of early action, a lot of early runs on the board. A's ended up hitting 5 yeah. homers on the night. The game somehow went under, Jeff. The total closed at 13. We had 12 runs through 6 innings, and then both teams just petered out at the end.
I was just going to say, it really felt like a bad beat if you had the over on this one here. Oh, by the way, noteworthy, it's 14 and a half today. It's a day, you know, it's 101 degrees for start time here. So the pitchers aren't as good. So it's expecting more fireworks tonight. So yeah, they did peter out last night. Felt like a bad beat, but yeah, it's like playing in 2019 baseball with happy fun ball. Don't cross happy fun ball. You don't want to run afoul of that. I would still avoid using any pitcher this week for the A's or against the A's. You're not going to, the Rockies come to town. Nobody has a Rocky start. All the leagues I'm in, if you use the RotoWire projected starters grid, tie it to our My Leagues tool there, you can see who's available really quickly every Sunday when you're looking for free agents, you're trying to find starts. Every single Rocky starting pitcher is unrostered right now. You definitely wouldn't want to use them here. How tough is it for the Brewers, by the way? They go to Coors Field last weekend. Then they have to go to Las Vegas and play, feels like on the surface of the moon. You know, that's got to be really tough on their pitching staff.
It may have knocked Kyle Harrison out of the fringes of the NL Cy Young race. I'll tell you that with what we saw on Monday night. But yeah, even the players, I think, kind of realize what's going on here. Like Churio hit that home run early last night. You can just see him smiling around the bases, right? Like if you watch the video of that swing, if you pause it right as he's making contact, like that's a lazy fly ball to right field in most parks. But look, the Brewers need to goose their home run numbers. All right. Like maybe this isn't a bad thing in the long term for Milwaukee, but we'll talk more about that game again with a total at 14 and a half with Brendan Sproats on the hill later in the show. We do have two games in progress in Major League Baseball, Red Sox, Rays, Yankees, Guardians just started up. So we'll keep you posted as the show rolls along. We're previewing the World Cup when we come back. Adam Dedroic going to load us up with some World Cup plays and picks on the other side. You watch the Prop Points here on VSiN.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line is Adam Zadroik, RotoWire's college hoops and soccer editor. We've had him on many times to talk college hoops. We're going to talk a little World Cup with Adam, though, right now. You can follow Adam on Twitter, at RotoZadroik. Adam, thanks for joining us today. World Cup starts tomorrow. Team Mexico is the opener against South Africa. We have 48 teams this year in the World Cup as opposed to 32. How's that going to affect group play? How's that going to affect your wagering and your handicapping?
Yeah, it's going to be a little different for sure in America. Everyone's talking about the heat, 48 teams up from 32 teams. It kind of makes these groups a little different. 8 of the 12 third place teams advance. So it's not going to be overly difficult for some of these to actually get into knockouts. Just means more games, more money for FIFA. We all know how that works. So for group stages, we're going to have these teams like your Curaçaos, your Cape Verdes that you're not used to seeing in the World Cup, and they're not used to playing teams like Spain and Germany. We're going to have these games that are a little unfamiliar. There could be some blowouts in group stages, some lopsided games, depending on, you know, maybe Germany, they score 3 goals in the first half, and it's like, okay, we can rest a lot of our starters here and sit back and kind of enjoy this. Or maybe they're like, let's try and score 10 goals, let's get a record, that kind of a thing. So there's probably going to be some lopsided games. The lower end teams in some of these groups are pretty bad. You'll find out. USA doesn't have that as much of a problem because Australia is still a team that's been in World Cups just because of where they're coming from. Paraguay is the other team there with Turkey. So they don't really have that situation because they're one of the teams that had the UEFA playoff team. Turkey got in via the UEFA playoff. So that one's a little different. There's a couple groups like that. But as I said, the Curaçaos, the Cape Verdes, Qatar, teams like that where we're just not used to seeing them in the World Cup. Those groups are going to be probably a little more straightforward.
So Adam, when you go through your handicapping process, whether you're looking at, you know, individual games or the tournament at large, how much are you factoring in things like the climate across North America, the travel schedule for some of these teams where you have the venues spread out between three different countries? Yeah, how much does that play into how you're going to end up betting this tournament?
Maybe it's a thing when we get into knockouts and starting to see what the situation is for a lot of these teams right now in group stages. First games wouldn't really put too much into it. We're also getting the water break in the first half and the second half. So that's going to add, you know, it's not going to make these guys suddenly recover right away, but these guys, we also have to include, this is immediately right after club season. So at some point, maybe it's going to be a problem, but I think we're going to see a lot of rotation in these group stages. It's going to be rare for a player to an experienced, a high level player that played in Champions League kind of thing to play start in all three group stage matches. I think we're going to kind of get that. As I said, some of these weaker teams will probably see like a Spain kind of rotate here and there, especially Lamine Yamal. It doesn't enter the tournament healthy, so he's going to be a guy that comes off the bench early on as well. I think once we get into knockouts, looking at certain aspects will be important. I'm not sure I'm going to put too much into the Heat. Maybe that's not on me for not doing that. But there's certain matchups. Like one I keep looking at is there's a possibility around a 16 where Mexico could host England in Mexico City. That's a situation where it's extremely different. Mexico City, we have elevation there. It's kind of like the factor in, I don't know, Colorado in baseball or the Nuggets, you know, in the playoffs in NBA. We kind of have different situations where the team that actually plays there has the edge because they're actually used to it. So kind of similar to that, you know, there's not many situations where it's like, okay, here's Mexico City in a knockout game in Mexico City. We don't have that many situations like that. But I think that'll make it a little interesting here. If Mexico win their group, they could have some games in Mexico City, which I think will be a strong advantage for them.
Norway has the best goal scorer in the world in Erling Haaland. They ran through qualification, went undefeated in qualification, and their reward was to be in a group with France and Senegal. Now, I know they could get through as still like the third team through, but that's a pretty tough group for them.
Yeah, that is the... there's not too many per se. Group of death is, I feel like, an older term that was used, but you could say that is the group of death: France, Senegal, Norway, Iraq. Okay. But yeah, that'll be a fun group. The interesting thing is these teams to actually advance. So those are three pretty good teams in France, Senegal, and Norway. These teams need points to advance. I said 8 of 12 teams to advance the knockouts. So to be able to do that, you're going to probably need at least 3 points to want to be able to advance in the knockout rounds if you're a third place team. So that's probably going to fall to Senegal and Norway. So those teams are probably going to be, you know, pushing to score a lot of goals against Iraq there in that matchup. So that's a certain group where maybe the teams that Iraq plays, maybe that's where you're like, okay, let's bet on Haaland to score. Let's bet Norway over goals, Senegal over goals in those situations. Because these teams are going to want to, in addition to getting the win, they're going to want a goal differential boost as well. So that's another aspect that you can think about in certain situations. You know, there are groups where there are two dominant teams, but that's group I with three teams that are, you know, truly fighting, truly believe they have a chance to advance to the quarterfinals, that kind of thing in the World Cup, that you don't want to be in a situation where you're on 2 points in third place and you're not going to advance to the knockouts. So that's one thing I will be looking at as well.
Well, more from Adam Zdrojek in just a moment. But folks, every week we sit here, we break down the players, we call the shots, we tell you who's going to ball out this summer. And every week, a bunch of you are in our replies, absolutely convinced you could do better. Fair enough. Here's your chance to prove it. Today's episode is brought to you by Sports.Fun, a free-to-play fantasy game built around the upcoming summer tournament. Pick the players you think are going to deliver, draft your squad, join leagues, and compete for a share of over $30,000 in prizes. $30,000, free-to-play, no catch. And if you really back yourself, there's a pro version where you can play with real cash. Same game, just higher stakes. We've set up an official RotoWire league over on the free side, so you could go head-to-head with us and the rest of the listeners and settle this once and for all. Sign up at football.fun, join that RotoWire league, and back yourself. Think you could call it better than us? Now's your chance to prove it. Terms and conditions apply. Adam Zdrowicz joining us on the Progressive Guest Line, our soccer expert over at RotoWire. We'll be talking to him plenty over the next month plus. Adam, I have a very simple question for you. How many teams can actually win the World Cup? Whether you're just looking at the list, you're looking at the groups, you're looking at the betting odds, where's the cutoff for you?
The cutoff is, I don't really like Brazil. I'd probably put it at five teams: Spain, France, England, Portugal, and Argentina. I'm not going to include Brazil in that group. They've had some injury questions, and I don't really like their entire team or the depth that they have. So those five teams, I think, is a pretty reasonable cutoff there. After that, you have Germany, Netherlands, just two teams that, whether offensively or defensively, I don't think that they're going to have enough to win five straight games in knockout stages, where, you know, the top five, they have depth, they have talent, they have a little bit of everything, maybe missing in some key areas. But overall, I think it's probably just those five teams. And the one team would be Portugal, who Ronaldo is at about the F level of his career right now. I'm not sure he's going to be ready to win a World Cup, but maybe it's destiny for him.
Well, let's look at some of the plays that you do like. Betting this year is interesting there. Let's talk about some group winners. You really like Mexico, even though they're a favorite at minus 140 to win Group A, you still don't think they're priced high enough.
Yeah, those odds have slowly gone up as teams are looking at this, as people are looking at this. Even their first game against South Africa, I believe it was minus 180. Now they're minus 240 to win. So these numbers are continually growing, kind of what I said off of, Okay, Mexico and Mexico City and Mexico. It's a pretty massive advantage when you're playing teams like South Korea, Czechia, South Africa. That's going to be a massive advantage in this group. That it's a pretty even group overall, but you throw in home advantage for Mexico. And I don't think South Korea or Czechia are, you know, at the high end of really any of these other teams. So Mexico already a better team at home, and minus 140, I think that should be probably a little higher there.
Got about a minute left, Adam. I know you have some early plays for some of these initial games. What's the play for Mexico, South Africa? And then I know you have something for USA, Paraguay as well.
Yeah, again, Mexico, I'm just going to be Ryan. You can take over 2.5 goals with Mexico. Raul Jimenez to score. That's their starting striker. I think the odds are pretty good on him. Last I saw, plus 150. Just a really good number on a team that's minus 240 to win. Also, I know Nick is heavy in the corners markets. I like corners for Mexico. I like corners for USA. USA, I think Paraguay is going to sit back pretty deep in this matchup. They're missing Julio and Ciso, one of their better players. USA is only minus 110. I like USA money line. Why not back the Americans here in their opening game? Great spot to get 3 points, minus 110. Pretty good odds, I think. So Mexico and USA, ride the home team. Ride the home teams.
We'll take you out on this, Adam. Who's winning the World Cup?
I'm going Spain. Spain, I think they had the best run. I like them at least in the semifinal. I like their depth. I like their players. Lamine Yamal is going to be healthy by the final. Spain's going to win.
Plus 450, Spain to win the World Cup. You hear it from our friend, Adam Zdrowicz. Catch all of his coverage of the World Cup over at RotoWire. Zach Cohen, Visa.com, joining us for some NBA plays next.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points. Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson hanging out with you. It's Double Guest Wednesday here on the show, so we'll head back out to the Progressive Guest Line in just a moment, but we will give you a quick score update. Two in-progress games in Major League Baseball. Nothing between the Red Sox and the Rays. Bottom of the second, no hits on the board. Angel Martinez does have a home run for the Guardians. They lead the Yankees 1-0. We were in the top of the second out in Cleveland. So back to the Progressive Guest Line we go to bring in our good friend Zachary Cohen, VSiN senior editor. You can find all of his daily picks, all of his daily write-ups over at VSiN.com. Also the host of the Hardwood Handicappers podcast. It's a daily NBA pod with advice from Zach and other VSiN analysts, including the great Kelly Bidlin, JVT. You can get early tips, market movement, angles, expert predictions before tip-off. So make sure you download the podcast on Apple, on Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And more importantly, subscribe to their YouTube channel at Hardwood Handicappers over on YouTube. All right, Zach, we'll get some plays from you for game four, but I want to start with some larger series items as we are basically at the halfway point. I know you have some takes on finals MVP, where if we look over at DraftKings right now, Jalen Brunson, despite the inefficiency, is your favorite, plus 105. Victor Wembanyama, plus 165. He would be the obvious choice if the Spurs do climb back and win this series. Karl Anthony Towns, though, now down to 5-1. I know there are some bigger numbers out there if you look at the prediction markets. Is it going to be one of those three? Would you go beyond that initial group? Is there value on someone like an OG Anunoby right now?
I don't think that there's value on OG Anunoby, but I was telling you off the show, I do think that I would have OG above Jalen Brunson if I were just kind of laddering where these players were through three games. Like, I understand that Brunson's going to have a big game at some point in this series. Might even happen tonight. Like, he's just not going to shoot this poorly the rest of the way. And I think that maybe the odds are taking that into account, that some better days are ahead for him. But you look at Anunoby and it's like 21 points per game, really good defense. Shooting splits are like 55, 45, 90. He has been really, really good for this New York team. And we just haven't seen Brunson play his best basketball. So as long as the inefficiency continues and the defense isn't there, I find it really hard to understand why he is currently the betting favorite. I think that it was kind of strange to see Karl Anthony Towns move as much as he did after, you know, a slightly poor outing in game three. I think that the touches were down. Everybody on the Knicks kind of suffered from a lack of offensive execution, but still think it's Towns if you're voting right now and assuming the Knicks win.
What do you attribute Towns' game three performance to? Is it, you know, just the Spurs making adjustments, just a bad game? Was there something different that happened that the Spurs were presenting against him?
I think that the Spurs were doing a really good job of pressuring Brunson, like, all the way up the floor. I think that they went to that three-guard lineup or four-guard lineup with, you know, Castle, Harper, Vassell, and Fox. And just all four of those guys are capable of putting pressure on Brunson full court, and just took a lot longer for New York to get into their offense. And by the time, you know, they're up there and you look at the shot clock, it's 10, 12. And I think Brunson just made a decision that he had to go. I don't think there was nearly as much involvement from Towns as we've seen throughout the course of the 13 game winning streak. Like, if you look at everything over the last couple of weeks, like, his touches were down last game, and the Knicks' passes were down overall. So I think they just did a really good job of kind of making Brunson work to get up the floor and taking the Knicks out of that offensive style that got them to this point.
Yeah, some of the touch numbers, even some of the advanced numbers, if you look at like the number of dribbles for Jalen Brunson so far in this series, a little bit alarming. He has 299 touches through three games, averaging 9.3 minutes of touch time per game, which is extremely high. Victor Wembanyama, by comparison, is at 2.6 minutes handling the ball so far in this series. We've seen a ton of Jalen Brunson. I think if I'm the Spurs, I'm ultimately okay with that, especially with how inefficiently he shot the ball. It's like, this has been the pitfall for the Knicks over the last couple of years as they fall into this Brunson-centric trap. I don't think if I'm the Knicks, I want him having another game where he's hovering around 40% usage. So the question is, who else steps up? You know, it was Mikal Bridges in game two. It was OG Anunoby in game three. You know, Towns has been mostly steady through these first three games, obviously better in games one and two. But is there another role player who you're looking toward tonight for the Knicks to kind of do what Anunoby and Bridges have done over these last two games?
I don't know if I feel it's going to happen like production wise. I don't know if he's going to play better or put up bigger numbers because of it. But I do think the way they're going to try to counter, you know, the pressure that they've been putting on Brunson is by having Josh Hart bring the ball up the floor. I just kind of think the Spurs are going to continue to pressure whoever's bringing it up. I think they have enough players on the court that could guard up and down the floor that they're just going to pressure him as well and make it really difficult on him to get the ball up the floor. So I think you're going to just see, you know, heavy full court press from San Antonio for a pretty good majority of this game. But I do think that that's going to be the change we're going to see, is that I think Mike Brown's going to ask Josh Hart to try to get the ball up the court, get Brunson the ball without having to, you know, use as much energy as he has been these last couple of games, and then try to work Karl Anthony Towns into this more as a playmaker. I just don't know how well it's going to work. I think that the Spurs have kind of the legs and the players that you need to kind of do this the rest of the series. They are a young team. I think that playing, you know, fast on offense and pressuring on defense is kind of what they've figured out is what they need to do. I think you kind of saw it towards the end of game two as well when they made that mini comeback, or not even mini. They almost had a chance to win that game, but they've played their best basketball, playing fast and kind of leaning in to their youth and athleticism.
Officiating was obviously a big storyline from game three, whether it was the Wemby non-call or the free throw disparity. Your reaction to that, do you think that was a proper lack of flagrant after the fact there? Any of your reactions to the officiating in game three?
I mean, I absolutely thought that was a flagrant one on Wemby. I don't think he should have been ejected for it, but I'm really surprised they didn't call a flagrant one. And the fact that they could say that they spent a whole day reviewing it and decided not to upgrade it, it definitely shows you that there's some incentive there to keep him on the floor. I know that will never come out. Nobody wants to hear that, but I do think that they are nervous about a situation where Wemby picks up the flagrant points he needs to be suspended for a game, and they want no part of that. So I think that really went into the decision we saw yesterday. I think the Knicks have had a really unfriendly whistle for the last three halves of basketball in this series.
We'll have more from Zach Cohen in just a moment. But folks, game four of the NBA Finals is tonight, and Polymarket lets you cash out before the final buzzer. Unlike traditional sports books where you're locked in until the game ends, you're in control of your position the entire time on Polymarket. You can get started with a free $50. Just use the promo code BUZZ, B-U-Z-Z. Put that in at Polymarket. Trading not available in all jurisdictions. Check local regulations before trading. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. If you can trade on Polymarket, make sure you're using that code BUZZ, B-U-Z-Z, free $50 heading into game four tonight. Zach, let's get to some of your plays that'll be on the card. I know we are of the same mind when it comes to targeting Devin Vassell in the made three-pointers market.
Yeah, I thought plus 120 was just a really generous price. I mean, Vassell is one of the guys I just mentioned has done a really good job defensively in this series, and that has completely earned him the trust of head coach Mitch Johnson. He's played 38 minutes per game over the last two contests, you know, right over 37 for the entire series. But it's clear that even with some of the small changes they've made to maybe cut back on Julian Champagne's minutes, it's not going to impact Vassell because of the way that he is defending. And this is a guy that can really knock down open shots. I actually think we're due for a game where like the volume is out of control. He's just been shooting really well on open jumpers, but I think at some point soon we're going to see him attempt 8-9 threes in a game. And this is a guy that I think is a really good knockdown shooter and also like lower on the totem pole when you're talking about the scouting report for trying to figure out how to guard this San Antonio team. I think that the players you are most concerned with are Wemby, obviously, and then Harper and Fox. I think that you kind of let the other guys beat you, but I think that Vassell is somebody that can make, you know, shots when he is called upon. So I think this is going to be a game where he knocks down three threes again. He's done it two games in a row. I know you've been all over that, but like I said, I think the volume will be there, not just the efficiency, pretty soon.
How are you attacking the spread and the total tonight?
Yeah, so I have a weird way of doing it. I want the Spurs. I just didn't get the number I was looking for. I liked San Antonio in the range of plus 120 to plus 125. Can't find it anywhere. So I'm trying to stay selective and not take a number I don't like. What I ended up doing is parlaying the Spurs on an alternate of plus 7.5 with Steph Castle alternate rebounds 4+. So this is minus 115. The Castle was thrown in there just to get a better spread, a better price on the spread that I liked. But yeah, 7.5 is a key number in the NBA. I do think that even if San Antonio loses this game, it'll be relatively close. And then Castle threw that in there because he's gotten over 3.5 rebounds in 6 straight games and 15 of the last 16. Just such a good rebounder at the guard position that I do feel pretty good about him contributing in a must-win game for San Antonio. And I kind of looked at a couple of different options to make this price a little better. I looked at Fox to score 12 plus points, but ultimately landed on Castle, who's just been great on the boards.
There we have it. Zach Cohen, everybody, check out all of his picks, all of his write-ups each and every day over on VSiN.com. And again, make sure you're subscribed to the Hardwood Handicappers podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, and you can check it out at Hardwood Handicappers on YouTube. We'll give you a baseball score update. We'll give you some more plays for game four tonight. We'll give you Jeff Erickson's MLB card on the other side. If you want your prop points, you're on VSiN.
You're cashing prop points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson back with you. It's the Wednesday edition of Prop Points. Double guests on the show, Adam Zdrowicz, Zach Cohen, giving us some great insights on the World Cup and NBA Finals Game 4, respectively. Jeff, I'll hand out a few of my plays for the NBA Finals in just a moment. We'll get your baseball card as well. Two games in action, though, in baseball right now. We have the Rays with a run on the board. Taylor Walls, a sacrifice fly. So Rays up 1-0. Just moving to the top of the fourth. And we told you the Guardians put a home run on the board in the bottom of the first. That was Angel Martinez. Yankees responded with three runs in the top of the second. Jazz Chisholm tripled in a couple and then scored on an error on the following batter. So Yankees up 3-1 right now in the bottom of the second. Two outs, none on for the Guardians. So game four tonight, Jeff, for me, we're going to go back to a lot of the usuals in the prop market. This continues to be a very difficult series for me from a side total perspective. I do lean under on 216.5. You know, game three, of course, cruised over that number. Games one and two both went under. We've seen so many long stretches in each of these games so far where either or both teams are struggling offensively. We've seen stretches where San Antonio, especially early in games, has been on fire. The Knicks tend to rally back, but overall, both of these teams have been so strong on the defensive end, particularly San Antonio. I think that continues. I think that maybe gets even stronger as we get deeper into the series. So I would lean under on that 216.5 number. In terms of props, we're going back to the well on Victor Wembanyama. We're not getting quite the price that we were for game three, but we'll take the over 1.5 steals plus 168 at DraftKings. Did catch a plus 190 at Bet Rivers. So this is one where I encourage you to shop around. He's hit this in each of the last two games, five of the last seven, now up to 10 consecutive games with at least one steal for Wembanyama, also leading the finals in deflections per game with four. I'm in agreement with Zach Cohen on Devin Vassell. We're taking the over 2.5 threes. Spurs went away from Stephon Castle in game two. It was Julian Champagny who ended up losing minutes in game three. I think Mitch Johnson has a ton of trust in Devin Vassell. I think they really value his shooting. They really value the defensive versatility. This is probably another night where he's in the 37 to 40 minute range. He's hit this in each of the last two games, only four attempts in game three, but he's taken at least six in 13 of his last 16 games. That dates all the way back to the start of the Minnesota series. And lastly, I think I will take the discount on Landry Shamet over 1.5 threes, minus 118 at FanDuel. He was brutal in game three, went 1 of 7 from beyond the arc. Most of those were open looks. This number, the over 1.5, was around minus 150, minus 155 heading into game three. So if you're giving me that at minus 118 for a guy who's been on fire throughout the playoffs, we will add that one to the card. Let's finish things out with your Major League Baseball plays, Jeff. We'll start out west where we have the Nationals traveling cross country, taking on the Giants. This one starts up later this afternoon. A couple lefties on the hill, Foster Griffin and Robbie Ray.
Yeah, Robbie Ray dodged all the raindrops last time. Remember, we had that severe windblown game, Giants versus the Cubs. Robbie Ray walked five batters in five innings, somehow threw five shutout innings, just showed where the Cubs are at. That was an 18-3 game. Somehow he managed not to allow a run. 12.4% walk percentage for the season, so he's been a walk machine. The Nats, they're a really good offense. We've talked about this time and again here on the show. They're better on the road, and they're better against lefties. 122 WRC plus against lefties, 348 WOBA, both of those top Major League Baseball for rates against left-handers. Even though Robbie Ray is better at home, 278 ERA and 127 WHIP, the walk rate's still sky high. The Nats have a good pitcher in Foster Griffin in this one. Give me the Nationals money line. Sweep the series, minus 104 over at FanDuel.
Cincinnati Reds continue their series out west against the Padres. This is Brady Singer taking on Michael King. Padres minus 167 on the home money line. Total coming in at 8. And you have a play on that total.
Yes, I do. This is the distrust of Brady Singer and the world-renowned Reds bullpen. Somehow didn't manage to blow a game last night. Huzzah, congrats to them for that. But Brady Singer won 14 games last year, was pretty solid innings eater. It's been a disaster this year. 2-6 record, 589 ERA, 169 WHIP, 697 ERA, and 184 WHIP on the road. So even though it's in Petco, even though against it's the Padres, I don't trust him at all. Michael King also has struggled recently. 13 earned runs over the last three starts. That's over 15 and two thirds innings. I'm going to go with the over. Go over. You can get that at over eight at minus 107 over at Bet Rivers.
Mariners Orioles out in Baltimore as we start to get into the evening slate, 6:35 p.m. Eastern, first pitch. We got George Kirby taking on Brandon Young, Seattle minus 125 on the money line, slightly higher total here at nine. You're going to the team total market, Jeff.
I am. George Kirby has been a bit of a disappointment for the Mariners so far this year. 4.04 ERA, 1.28 whip. The strikeout rate is really the thing that's really dropped off. It was 26% last year. It's down to 19.8% this year. Going up against Brandon Young, a guy whose ERA and whip don't really match, 3.47 ERA, 1.34 whip. Part of that is because he had one game where he gave up 10 runs and only four of them ended up being earned. I'm going to bet on the Orioles offense here on this one. They're against George Kirby. The team total over 4.5. Get that at plus 105 over at DraftKings. Just a heads up on this one, though. If you're weather adverse, risk averse, there is an 82% chance of rain. 9-mile-an-hour wind blowing out. I think this is only a three-game series, so they're going to try to get this game in. They started on Monday, so I think they'll do whatever they can to try to get this in. It's not like they're going to face each other again in this locale. But just be aware that might be an issue when you're trying to bet team totals or totals, period.
We got Dodgers Pirates in Pittsburgh. Dodgers heavy, heavy favorites on the road money line. Minus 199, totals 8.5. But a really fun pitching matchup all of a sudden, Jeff, between Shohei Ohtani and Jared Jones making his third appearance.
Yeah. I mean, what more can we say about Ohtani? He's preposterously good. 0.74 ERA, 0.79 whip. I don't want any part of that Pirates offense attacking him, even though the Pirates are really good against right-handed pitching, good left-handed batters. I'm just going to avoid that side of it. I'm going to focus in on Jared Jones a little bit there. He came back from Tommy John surgery a couple starts ago. This is his third start from returning from the IL. He had five shutout innings against the Astros last time out. He's actually throwing harder than pre-injury form. Average fastball so far in these two starts has been 99 miles an hour. 10 strikeouts so far in his return. His strikeout prop is at 4.5 strikeouts. The range and the price is wild. You can get it as low as minus 122, as high as minus 160. So I'll take the 122 price over at Bet Rivers, over 4.5 strikeouts. Paul Skenes struck out 7 last night against the Dodgers. They just waited Skenes out. They scratched out that second run, then attacked the bullpen. I don't think that the Pirates are a good bet to win, but I think we can get to that strikeout prop.
And a good call by you last night with the Dodgers as underdogs in that Skenes start. Let's go up to Toronto, where we have Phillies Blue Jays, Jesus Luzardo, the lefty, taking on Max Scherzer. Got a hitting prop in this game.
Yeah. As you know, I'm contractually obligated not to talk about Jesus Luzardo. I broke that rule on Dinger Friday last week and paid the price for it there. So we'll not touch Jesus Luzardo. I get whipsawed by him every single time. So let's talk about Max Scherzer coming off the IL. He had a forearm and an ankle issue there. He's been on the IL since about mid-April. Threw 73 pitches in a rehab stint, showed a little higher velocity than he did back in April. But yet, it's his first start back. I'm not really buying into what he can do this time out. He was not very good before he got hurt. Bryce Harper in his career has 4 home runs against Max Scherzer. I'm going to take the Bryce Harper over 1.5 total bases, minus 107 over at DraftKings.
Let's finish out the show with our best bets of the night. I know you got a couple in the chamber for this baseball slate, Jeff, and I will, of course, be going to the NBA. So your favorite bets of the night, and we do need one from this Brewers A's game.
Yes, we are obligated to talk about this Las Vegas series with the A's, and in this series in particular. Team total home run, or not team total, but the total home runs. Don't usually talk about this, but the line is set at 3.5 in this one. That seems kind of high until you realize there were 11 total homers on Monday. There were 6 homers yesterday, 5 by the A's alone. It's set at 3.5, minus 120 over at DraftKings. It's going to be 101 degrees out. Brandon Sproat's given up 11 homers in 54 innings. The total's 14.5 in this game. Let's go over total home runs, 3.5. It's at minus 120 over at DraftKings.
You say that 3.5 feels high, Jeff. That feels low to me.
Well, it feels high compared to, it feels low for this game. feels high, generally speaking, for most Major League Baseball games. But yeah, it feels like a what am I missing sort of line.
Yeah. Yeah. So there we go. Brewers A's total homers over 3.5, -120 over at DraftKings. I'm picking between the Wemby over 1.5 steals and the Vassell over 2.5 threes. I'm going to go Devin Vassell. Zach Cohen kind of hammered this one home for me. I think the volume comes back. Even when the volume hasn't been there, Devin Vassell is a multi-three game, three guy. It feels like just about every night. I think we could get back to 7 or 8 attempts for him in game 4 tonight. So we'll lock that one in, +118. We'll be back with you tomorrow, giving a full recap of game 4 of the NBA Finals, start to look ahead to game 5, handing things off to Money Moves. Stormy, JVT, coming your way next here on VSiN.